independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
So we're getting an incident at Michigan Airport. Stabbing in the back of an officer. And what they're saying is right before the officer was stabbed, that the person who stabbed him said something or screamed something in Arabic. So that obviously will be news throughout the day. And we'll, you know, we'll, yeah, this is unfortunately, you know, what happens in this world that we live in, where what did they say? What did they look like? What is their political affiliation? Not really knowing or caring what about the people that are a victim in a crime like this, right? What's his affiliation? Who is he with? What is it, a terrorist attack? Is it a crazy alt-right person? Is somebody who's from the progressive left? That's more important than the victim and the status of said victim. Because that is politics. That is media. The great saying in media for a long time, if it bleeds, it leads. They tried that before. I think it was San Diego. They tried to have positive news, and their ratings took a dump. Just didn't work. They tried to have pretty much only positive news stories. They reported on stuff that was big news, but they tried to stay away from a lot of the other stuff, and it just didn't work. People want to know. And with the way that politics works nowadays, people need to know, right? And because you have to be right. You know, even the other day, I was talking about the Philando Castile case. And if you didn't see yesterday, you know, the officer had the dashboard cam was released. And the shooting, there were 7 shots fired. And somebody had to write in. And I never mentioned the officer color or what he was. Somebody writes in, he goes, you know, that guy wasn't white, that officer. Like, you get a trophy, right? But I understand why some people do that, because some people are sick and tired of being demonized. Some as well. You know, they don't want to be demonized. It's crazy. But this is what's happening now, is because we have access so fast to news. Think about 25 years ago. Whatever you got off the television or your newspaper is what you got. So news didn't flow frequently and often like it does now. You may have a late edition and an early edition when it came to the newspaper, and your news, you know, was just starting to have that 24-hour news cycle, but it really wasn't like it is now. They didn't have reporters everywhere. They were, and so now we have instantaneous news. But with that and the fact that we're so divided, we also want instantaneous stories and how we can spin things. And we politicians, don't worry. You don't need to spin it. We'll help you out along the way. It was crazy. Last night in Georgia, they had the 6th Congressional District had its big special election. Karen Handel and John Ossoff, $50 million poured in to this election. It's the most expensive race in the history of America for a seat, for just a singular congressional seat. This was the most expensive race. And this is Newt Gingrich's seat. This is Tom Price's seat. Tom Price is leading Health and Human Services now. And so that's why his seat is up for an election. And John Ossoff is this young kid that hopes and dreams were pinned on this guy, returning filmmaker. They rolled him out there. The money that came in, particularly from California, was tremendous. He raised a lot of money, but 9 times the amount of money he raised poured in from California to help this guy against this lady. And the Republicans throwed some money at Karen Handel as well. She didn't run from Trump, by the way. As much as this was supposed to be a referendum on Trump in his first 6 months in office, she ran to him. She didn't run away from him. And he came out and spoke last night after losing said election.
So this is not the outcome any of us were hoping for. But this is the beginning of something much bigger than us. The fight goes on. Hope is still alive. I thank you all so much. I thank you.
He sounds like a millennial, does he? The fight goes on, bro. Bro, the fight's totally going on, bro. Hey, bro, fight's going to go on, man. We're not stopping, dude. Let's get some monster drinks. We'll try it again next week. Wait, what do you mean? There's no next week? No way. I'm interested to see what happens from here now. Are they still going to work with this kid? Do they still want this guy to be? And I call him a kid. He's 30 years old, but I'm 46. You know, Paul, I mean, our president just turned, what, 71 years old. So in a lot of ways, he's still kind of a kid. What do they do with him from here? And what do the Democrats do? What do you do? Because the whole thought process is resist, 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 fight, Bob, weave, dodge, fight, Bob, weave, dodge, resist, 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 resist. What do you do? What do you do if your resistance movement is a lot of yelping, a lot of whining, a lot of anger, a lot of people who are pissed off, but zero results? Zero. You got to have results, right? You can't. If you don't have results, it doesn't matter. And by the way, I think in truth, they're 0 for 5 because there was another election last night, but that one wasn't really in play. How many of these are really in play? That's the other thing you got to ask yourself. How many? Last night was much different because of the amount of money that was poured in here, right? And I think, too, that was strategic because of it being Tom Price's seat, because one time being held by Newt Gingrich. I think it was very strategic to see the amount of money poured into this because it was almost a symbol of taking something that is predominantly a red area and turning it blue as also that kind of resistance. But if you're a Democrat, right, and you wake up today, what do you do? I mean, you know, I saw some of his supporters. They were devastated. They were devastated. And this helps with health care, by the way, depending if they ever actually get done with health care, which I don't really foresee happening. What's your game plan now? Because you haven't won. You've lost. You've spent a ton of money. No matter what the media does, no matter what they say, no matter how they spin things, no matter how they make things a huge deal when it comes to Russia and all of these other things, they're not getting the results that they think that the Democrats probably were going to get based on the fact that they have demonized Trump to the point where you're just, you know, I mean, he is apparently villainous. What do you do? What do you do if you're them today? You wake up again and you're not winning. You're not even coming close to winning. You're 0 for 4, potentially 0 for 5. Again, I look at stuff that, quote unquote, is supposed to be in play. And last night was close. I said yesterday I thought she was going to win. But what do you do? You wake up, you're looking around, and you keep thinking that somehow this progressive movement and this left-leaning movement is going to explode and that these progressives are going to start to get all the things they want and because of the resistance, because of all that stuff. But it's not. It's not happening. And you woke up again today if you're on the left and you're like, oh, my God, we lost again. Where is this? I'm hearing that he's horrible. I'm seeing these people run against Trump and his agenda. But I keep seeing that it's an O for this and an O for that and an O for this. And we lost again. Ain't helping me. And then 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Just sitting there, you'd have to be frustrated. And all that money, God, that is a lot of money to spend. A lot of money to spend. Huge amount of money. And not going anywhere. Just not getting it done. Results. In the end, in life, let nobody ever tell you anything. Effort is wonderful, and we always want effort in human beings. But you know what else? It's results. They're not getting the results. Hey, you are at work between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. during the day, weekdays. You're busting your butt. Your kids are at school. Things are going the way you're supposed to be going. Your house is locked up. Oh, it's all great. While you're doing your best work, robbers, thieves, home invasion folk, they're doing their worst work. How do you protect your house? It's simple. Simply Safe Home Security will help stop intruders in their track. You can build an arsenal in under an hour with Simply Safe. It's so easy to install. You have no idea. Again, my mom can do it. I can do it. It's so easy. You literally get it out of the box, and within an hour, it's ready to roll. Sensors, glass break sensors, high definition camera, so you know what's going on in your home even when you are away. That's awesome. You just want to go, hey, what's going on in my house? Oh, nothing. I see the dogs and cats are hanging out. I see the cat. I see the dog. on the couch, not supposed to be, but you know what you don't see? Robbers, and that's what you want. With SimpliSafe, there's no long-term contracts. There is no hidden fees, less than $15 a month, and with that, you get all of that stuff, plus round-the-clock professional monitoring. That is simply amazing. Go to simplysafe.com/Benson. Get a special 10% discount off your home security system. When you order today, that's simplysafe.com/Benson. You're going to get 10% off. simplysafe.com/Benson. Anxiety in the U.S. Do we have some? I think so. I think we got a little anxiety. But how much compared to the rest of the world? It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson loves lemonade. No wonder his show is two parts tart to one part sweet. Time for a refill. Cheers.
Cheers! Doink, Scoob! We have a lot more anxiety. I think a lot of people do out there, apparently. I always like how they do this. You know, Americans have more anxiety than anybody else. I was like, shut up. Do we really have anxiety? Probably not. First of all, here's a question I ask. Do we have more anxiety because we seek help more than other countries? Do they say that because we are at the point where if we feel we're stressed, that we'll say we're stressed, where other people will say, no, I'm not stressed? That's a question I think is very fair to ask, right? That we're more open, that we will go talk to somebody, we'll go see a doctor, we'll go see a counselor, where other countries may not have the people that are willing to do that the way that we are. Is it because, or are we over, and this is something too that I think is very fair, are we over, do we talk too much about it? Do we think we're stressed out and we have lots of anxiety and then we're overprescribed and we're over-doctored? It's possible. But I think that you know, sometimes if we take a step back, it's like, okay, you know, it's like I was talking to a friend today and she says, you know, kids in school, they suffer from more depression. And I said, is it really that, or do they suffer from more helicopter parenting, and do they suffer from more doctoring? Do other kids not go to doctors and counselors as much as white kids do? Because parents from other cultures and other races don't see it as something that's important, the mental well-being. It's a fair question to ask, right? It is. I think it's a very fair question to ask, but people won't ask that question. I ask those kind of questions, people. Speaking of anxiety, terrorism fears are through the roof. We just had an attack on a police officer in Michigan, and people say they heard him scream Ali Akbar as he stabbed an officer in the back. Terrorism. How big is it? How big is it? How big is it? Well, according to a new Gallup poll, 38% are less willing to attend large events due to terrorism. Previous high was in 2002, right after 9/11. That was 32%. 46% say they're less willing to travel overseas due to terrorism concerns. Now, I will say this. I have a couple friends that travel quite extensively, and they have said that they no longer do some of the things they once did in both Paris and in London because of that. They tend to be off the beaten path now when they go to those cities. And I get that. I do. I get that. I can understand that. I could see why there's a trepidation to go to some of these places based on a lot of the stuff that's happening. But that's part of terrorism. It's not so... They want to get in your brain. They know they're not going to win the war. But if they can win singular battles and get people to change their daily habits or to try to say, let's not anger them so they don't do bad things to you, that's how they're going to try to win the overall war. That's how they're going to do it. But one thing's for sure, I was reading today that the music festivals are struggling mightily for A, people going there, but B, the lines are so long at these music festivals to get into some of these places that people are saying it's not worth it. It's up to an hour or so just to get in. Metal detectors, double metal detectors, people virtually being strip searched, going through every piece of everything. Went to Knott's Berry Farm for the first time in a long time this past weekend, took my little dude down there as we're celebrating his kickoff to summer. He's got good grades. We're all going there. And we went down, and I have never been in a situation where it was like going through TSA. Pockets out, stuff inside the box, people go through all bags, they look at everything, and you're thinking, this is an amusement park. I'm supposed to be coming here to enjoy my day with my child. And this is what this is about now. And luckily, and God willing, it won't ever happen. We haven't had a day of death at Disney or anything like that. And thank God for that. But could you imagine if something like that happened? Or if a Coachella, or if Lollapalooza, I don't even, Lollapalooza still goes on Lilith Fair? Is that even around anymore? I'm not even sure. Whatever. But could you imagine if something like that happened? What that would be like? Could you imagine a football game or a basketball game, anything like that, where something horrible like that took place? Oh, my God. That's insane. It really is. But we think about it now. We do. It's not just being on an airplane anymore. It's across. We think about those type of things. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You could text us always, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Robots, automation, will they help? Will they hurt? Some people, I think, are misguided. We're going to touch on that. Also, a perfect story to show you how two sides of stories are spun in the media. It's a great story today about Seattle and the $15 an hour and how it's being praised. But is that the real story, or are they leaving a lot of stuff out? It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You know, jobs were first and foremost the thing that people talked about, especially in the Rust Belt, which really delivered Trump the presidency. It was the thing that was of most importance for most people. Let's be honest. If Trump manages on his watch to get the economy at 3.5%, 3% GDP, maybe a 4% here and there, and people feel like they got more in their paycheck and things are going well for them fiscally, all the other stuff that's going on will fall by the wayside. It's going to fall on deaf ears. It is. Because we vote in a lot of ways for our paychecks or against other people's paychecks. That's real right there. And automation is a big issue. But one of the other things he talked about too was also trade. It's not just automation. We've got bad trade deals. And you're never going to please everybody. Doesn't matter what you do. You're never going to please every person out there. Some people are going to be upset. Some people are going to be hurt. You know, one of the big things about trade deals that helped us is because we're a consumer-based society. What? We like the fact that we can get goods here very, very cheap. Remember when you were younger and your TV would break, right? And mom and dad, I think, weighed 800 pounds, and you would have to take the TV to the TV repairman, or maybe they would come and fix it, and it was expensive, but it was way cheaper than buying a new TV. Now you got a 60-inch TV, the thing breaks, you throw it away, you go buy a brand new one. We like the fact that we got cheap goods, but that also put a hurting on us. Michigan, you know, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Ohio, the Rust Belt, these places there where it's so vitally important, these manufacturing jobs, one of the things they talk about is it's automation, but it's also about trade and how trade played a huge problem as far as unemployment goes.
Now you drive through the neighborhoods and you see many empty buildings. There's a lot of people that have fallen off of the unemployment rolls and have not been able to find jobs.
I didn't really see a big unemployment problem because of automation, but I really do feel like the trade deals were a killer to a lot of stuff.
Well, here's where I think they missed the point on automation, is they're not understanding the way automation is going to work. If you're in a union, and especially a lot of these people they talk to in this piece on CNN Money, is a lot of these are older people who've been in a union for a very long time. They don't have to worry because they're at the point now where they're nearing retirement. Not all of them, but a good portion of them. And automation is going to be the next generation's problem. Trade was a bigger issue for them 15, 20 years ago, not automation. And also the world competition, right? Because now it's like, why would I? I mean, their union and the cost of them paid was a huge issue for them and was a much bigger problem for them is the cost of doing business here comparatively to China. Once the floodgates open up, we can go anywhere else around the world and you could do all of your stuff elsewhere at a fraction of the cost. Why would you want to do it here? That's something that we leave out. But then that comes into the trade thing, because then we're allowing those goods to come back into this country for virtually nothing. No tariffs, none of that stuff. So what's the incentive of doing something here? But automation, again, I think at times people miss the boat.
I don't fear the technology or the automation or the robotics. I welcome it.
The robots, in like I said, are not taking jobs away. Actually, we're assisting the robot.
Okay, slow your roll. You're not assisting the robot. You're standing next to the robot getting paid $30 an hour. The robot, you're not assisting the robot. It's like, we're going to assist the robot. I'm going to be the robot's friend, and I'm going to assist a robot, and he will be my friend. Am I the robot? Are you my friend? To take jobs. I work in an industry that, especially in the entertainment world, that felt it first and probably next to the newspaper industry, felt it longer, right? The newspaper industry was second, but automation hit the radio industry so hard. Because with one flick of the switch, you could be on 500 stations. Therefore, there's not a need for 500 on-air personalities. And there's not a need for 500 board ops and or other people. Think about that. The newspaper industry struggled not because of automation, but because it was just the internet. People weren't going to the newspaper anymore. And same thing for the automation industry inside all manufacturing, but especially the auto industry, they struggle because you really just have people staring at these things, doing all the work, making sure they're what? What do you think is going to happen? Like, did you guys hear what happened? That robot got mad and left. It's not going to happen. It's not. And then understand that it will eventually hurt them in the long run. Robots don't have feelings. They're not there for that. They're not programmed. They're there to make sure the paint on the car is right and that the wheels go on correctly.
As a matter of fact, there's actually education involved to learn how this robot works, to learn how to adjust it, to learn how to make adjustments on it, who to call when. I mean, so there's also education involved when automation, robotics, and things like that.
Brings us to a higher level of working.
I like how the robot brings them to a higher level of worker. The robot is better and makes me a better worker. Chad, you're being horrible to pick. I'm being honest. You know, the minute that they can get one person to do 12 people's jobs to make sure the adjustment goes well and they can get it. Because you watch these union contracts, a lot of which these things are in the manufacturing world, as they no longer have these contracts, they no longer have to have 5, 10, 15 people, you know, inside there. They're not going to. They're not. They'll have one person for 15 or 20 robots. That's the way it's going to work. Here's the good news, though. Robots keep people safe.
They've replaced a lot of jobs that actually injured people, which then in the long term costs the company money when there's an injury to an employee. So when you have a robot there now doing that particular job, that's a good thing.
So automation is great. I want it to excel. I want more computers. I want more robots because they're helping keep the jobs here in America.
I just don't think they get it. But it's okay. I mean, again, it's okay. I don't know how they're helping. Like, Producer Phil, how do you think they're helping to keep jobs in America? I'm just curious.
I can't figure anything out.
I hear that. I think the job will be done in America. I just don't think human beings will be part of the job being done. So you'll have a manufacturing plant that can produce a ton of cars or widgets, and normally you'd have 1,500 or 2,000 employees. You may have 200 employees that wouldn't be there if they had to produce elsewhere, but they're not going to get back to that day when you have 500, 1,000, or 2,000 employees there. Speaking of work, $15 an hour job. Now, all over, you know, Seattle, this thing came out, and people are like, oh, my God, Seattle's going to make minimum wage $15 an hour, and they've got that crazy socialist person up there who, you know, thinks that all business owners are horrible, that everybody needs a living wage, and then... And so a new report comes out today. A new report says nobody's losing their job when it comes to $15 an hour. Nobody's losing their jobs. Nobody's. It's not happening. It was supposed to happen. It was supposed to crumble. But I always say there's always two sides to a story, and you have to sometimes figure out what that is. Because I'm like, wait a minute. Is $15 an hour even implemented fully there? Well, the report came out from UC Berkeley. They shopped reports to find something that would be positive towards this, the city did. Why is that? Because the nonpartisan group they hired originally did not put out a report that was really favorable. So they went report shopping. Yes, they did. In fact, a lot of the headlines say minimum wage increase hasn't killed jobs in Seattle. Well, that's according to Berkeley, which, by the way, Berkeley has done six of these reports for other places. And they've all been stellar reports. But when they went elsewhere, right, they found a highly qualified, unbiased research team from the University of Washington to also do a report. The team included a roster of impressive researchers from a variety of backgrounds, including Jacob Vigdor, who is a professor at the university and an adjunct fellow at the Manhattan Institute, to Hillary Wething, who is formerly a union-backed Economic Policy Institute member. And what they said is the average hourly wage for workers affected by the increase from $9.96 to $11.14, but those wages would have gone up most likely due to the overall economy in Seattle. But here's where they differ from the Berkeley thing. And this is something that I don't think people are understanding. Meanwhile, though, workers were earning more. Few of them had jobs. And those that did work are now working fewer hours than they would have without the wage hike. The Berkeley Labor Center has done six other studies on minimum wage in California municipalities. And guess what? All of them are glowing. All of them are glowing. Yes, of course they are. You see, there's two sides to stories. That's what I tell everybody. You've got to try to find what is missing here, because it can't always be glowing. There's got to be the reality of what's going on. Some of the other stuff that in the Seattle report that they did is, oh, here's something. They talked to Z Pizza and several other small mom-and-pop places, and guess what? They've cut their staff and or they've closed or moved out of the city limits to other places. Means longer hours for them and less employees. But you don't get the full story. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us as well and tweet at us at Chad Benson Show. Hey, whether you're heading to grandma's house or you're just hanging out, just doing errands around the city and doing a little staycation this year, driving is great, but having your car have issues is not so great. And we know how expensive it can be for unexpected car repairs, costing hundreds, potentially even thousands of dollars. So do what I did. Extend vehicle service protection from CarShield. Water pump, $500. New transmission, ooh, geez, that's what, $2,000? New engine, upwards of $5,000. And let's, how about air conditioning? How about it? How hot is it? It's too hot. Could you imagine being without air conditioning? Oh, geez. Yeah, that can cost $1,500. With Car Shield, you get 24/7 roadside assistance. You get a rental car while your car's in the shop. And here is the great thing with Car Shield. It's not just the mechanical side of stuff. They take care of the electric side of stuff as well. The computers, the gadgets, all of that stuff in there. Yeah, they're going to make sure that's taken care of. And when it needs to be taken care of, you choose the mechanic. You choose it. Doesn't matter who it is, right? And you take it to the dealership if you want to. They pay them directly. You're hands-free. Hands-free at that point in time. Let's recap this. 24/7 roadside assistance. You choose the mechanic. And you get a rental car while your car's in the shop. Winner, 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 winner. That's why CarShield is absolutely the best. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Call 800-CAR-6100. Mention code Benson or visit CarShield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Benson saves you 10%. A deductible may apply.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
Boop, boop, boop. Did you know they have different Ken dolls? I was unaware of the different Ken dolls, but they've got all kinds of new Ken dolls now, from the skinny jean wearing to the just the worst kind of Ken doll of all, which is the man bun. If you're a samurai, you can wear a man bun all the time. If you are not a samurai, you should be prohibited from wearing a man bun.
More than five decades after we first met Barbie's guy Ken, Mattel is announcing a new diverse line of Ken dolls featuring three different body types, including broad, slim, and original. There are seven different skin tones. I know it sounds like takeout food. there are seven different skin tones to choose from and nine different hairstyles. And there's even
a man bun.
Has a man bun, which I am looking at right there.
Clap it, man bun. Like, what would make you clap at man bun? I'm looking at them. You know what I don't see? I don't see bearded. I don't see, with all of, if you're going to do man bun, why don't you do bearded? Because the beard is the thing. Yeah. I'm looking at them. Wow. Is this the Adronis one or whatever it's called? Androgynous? Yeah, androgynous, that's what that one looks like. It's, the broad. I like the broad. They have broad shoulder ones. Yeah, where's the dad bod one? That's what you need, right? You can have Carby, which is the carbs-loving Barbie, who's got a beautiful face, but also enjoys some tortilla chips and some pizza. And then where's the broad-shouldered man bod? And by the way, a dad bod wins again, according to Women's Health and Planet Fitness. They did a brand new study. And again, women prefer the man bod. 7 out of 10 women are more attracted to the dad bod than a dude who has washboard abs. This according to a brand new study. Now, in 2015, the Washington Post provided a flowchart to figure out where they came in as far as dad bods. But it's essentially 20 to 54-year-olds. But more like 30 to 54-year-olds who are guys who pack on maybe an extra 20 pounds or so, but they're seen to be typically, you know, kind of just regular dudes. And the funny thing is when they went to Planet Fitness and they talked to all these, the women in Planet Fitness, even the ones who are really fit and everything, they said, you know what, a new six-pack, the women would rather prefer a guy that was going to leave after being in the gym for an hour or 30 minutes than a guy that's going to stay an extra hour or 30 minutes to work on themselves. Because the way they look at it is they're working on themselves. And if they're working on themselves, it's only because they love themselves. Remember that old saying is you can't love somebody till you love yourself, which I always thought was kind of BS. Because what I find now is people love themselves far more than they love other people. They love themselves too much. I'm obsessed. I'm stalking myself. That's how much love I have for me. I'm going to stalk myself. I'm going to have to get a restraining order against me. Chad, you can't be within 50 feet of yourself. What? No! It's so crazy. Dad bods, you know who you are out there. Rock that extra 20. You look all right. You look good. You take care of business. That's what I'm talking. Boom! The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Yeah, I can't love yourself so much. I've got it. My little sister's a bit like that. She loves herself. She loves her some her. I think you can overdo it in the love department. But you dads, you know who you are out there. Rock that dad bod. That's what ladies like. Ladies like, they'd rather you spend a half an hour longer with them, making them feel great, than an extra 30 or 60 minutes in the gym so they can look at themselves and preen over themselves even more. Email the show, chat at chadbensonshow.com. And check out Chad Benson Show for all your podcasts. Go to iHeart, wherever great podcasts are available. And these here, United States of America and abroad. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your hump day. We got you over it. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.